And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle, and The Convert is upstairs here at St. Mary's having surgery. Mark is having some back surgery today, so we ask you to include him in your prayers for today and in his recovery this week. With me this morning is Dan Walker. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Good. You know what? We have got a jam-packed show today. We have Ashley Nerona in Rome. We have Peter Bond from Tallahassee, Florida. Donna Dossman's going to be here. We have a gospel preview, and we're going to jam that all into an hour.
It's going to be exciting. We have some great guests.
Yep. So you know what? We're not going to chit-chat too much this morning. We're going to get right to it, and we'll be back with Ashley Nerona right after this message.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face, brush off the
clouds. All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert here for Thursday morning. I'm here with Dan Walker. Mark's out, as I told you earlier. And we're going to speak with our Rome correspondent, our friend Ashley Nerona. Ashley leads tours through Rome and is doing one in the Holy Land here in the very near future. Ashley has a television show called on Shalom TV Network, I believe, a contributor to EWTN, and a regular on Relevant Radio. Ashley, we are so happy to have you on the show this morning.
Welcome, welcome.
Well, a big shout to WDCR and all of my friends and listeners in Central Illinois. I'm sure happy to be speaking to you from the Eternal City all the way to you all over there in Illinois.
Well, we're glad to have you, and we know that you're on the morning show pretty regular with John and Glenn, I think on Wednesday mornings, and you do a lot of interesting stuff from Rome, but today we want to give you the opportunity not only to tell us what's going on in Rome, but to talk to us about this pilgrimage that you and John will be leading to the Holy Land next year.
Yes, we've got all kinds of exciting things coming up right around the corner. The pilgrimage that you're referring to is going to happen in February of 2017. And from the 8th to the 17th of Feb, we are going to take a special group all the way to the Holy Land, because as John and I have experienced from having been there ourselves, it is truly a life-changing experience. After I visited the Holy Land, I realized that I could never understand my faith in the same way again. I could never hear and read Scripture in the same way again, because it had absolutely ignited my scriptural imagination. And now I could imagine, I could see where Christ had walked, where these particular stories occurred, where parables were told. I actually had been there in those physical places. So I really can say it changed my life. And after that experience, John and I decided that we wanted to be able to share that with others. And so that's what's happening in February when we take a group on over. Dave, maybe you'll be able to join us someday, Dave and Dan.
Well, I'm certainly going to consider it. You know, and everybody that I've spoken to that's gone there said it's completely different from what you expect, and that you absolutely can put places with the stories in the Gospels and in the Old Testament, too.
Absolutely. And one of the really special things, oh, there's so many special things, but going in February, it's a very interesting time to go because, for one thing, it's a less crowded time of year. And that means that we will be able to enjoy the sights a lot more intimately. We're not going to be pushed around or, you know, elbowed in crowds or anything like that. And it also happens to be that the second Sunday in February, the Catholic Church observes World Marriage Day. And so that means that we are going to be in Cana around that time, having the chance to renew marriage vows. So folks who are married on our trip, of course, people are coming as couples. People are also coming as singles. But there will be that opportunity to renew marriage vows right there in the place where Christ's first poet's miracle took place, and it's an incredible opportunity to, to not only have that refreshing in our own marriages and that coming together in oneness in marriage, but to remember that marriage is way more than a social contract that it was in early salvation history, because it was Christ who made it into the new covenant in the blood of Christ, and that's now elevated into a sacrament. So we're remembering truly what marriage is right there in such a special place.
Yeah, and I'll bet they've got some pretty good wine there, too.
Hey, they sure do. You're exactly right. And in fact, the gift stores right around there are sure to sell it to you. They're happy to sell it to you.
You can get it in a little stone crock, I suppose. So, Ashley, the trip itself is how many days?
So it's 11 days. It's
11 days.
To the 17th of February of 2017.
Now, will you stay in one hotel and travel from it, or do you travel around the country itself?
We're going to be moving around because we want to cover as much territory as possible. We're going to go from north to south to east to west. We're going to cover everything. And that is because, for one thing, Israel is the kind of country where you can move around quite easily and cover a lot of territory. And it's the kind of place where it's so different from one side to the next. So first of all, one of the impressions I had was that I was completely blown away by the bucolic landscape, by the gorgeous scenery, especially up north near Nazareth, near Galilee. And I didn't quite anticipate it, but it was one of the most beautiful scenes that I had ever seen. And then we'll go to the Dead Sea. And when John and I went, we enjoyed swimming in the Dead Sea. And the next day we went to Jerusalem, and actually we got a little bit of snow the next day. So we managed to experience all kinds of seasons when we're there. But we're going to take everyone to places like, of course, to Nazareth. We're going to go to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. In Jerusalem, we're going to go to the Western Wall. We want to go in Galilee and actually take a ride on the Sea of Galilee, see an ancient boat whose remains were discovered there in Galilee, and it dates back to the time of Christ. We plan to go, to spend time, of course, in Jerusalem, but also in to see the Dead Sea Scrolls near the Dead Sea. So we're going to have a very full experience to really bring the gospel as well as the Old Testament to life right before everyone's eyes. Now, by state law in Israel, an Israeli guide will always be with the group. And John and I will then supply the spiritual commentary, and we will also conduct some talks and have the opportunity to go deeper into everything that we're experiencing in order to have a truly impacting spiritual pilgrimage, Dave and Dan.
Wow, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful time. It's really something that everyone should see is the Holy Land. And I'm going to have to give some serious thought to that if Jim will give me the time off to go.
Hey, Ashley, can I ask you a question? Listening to you and our listeners as we kind of get inspired, I'm always anxious to know. We can hear your enthusiasm, your passion about the faith and living in Rome and seeing the Holy Land and what it has meant to you. But I kind of read a little bit trying to prepare for this of your background. Would you share with our listeners about really where you were, where you are, and where you're going? And I know your degrees and you're working on a doctorate, and now you weren't a theology major originally. Could you share us a little bit? Yeah. I think it's so inspiring for us listeners to know us common folks, or, we're working every day just doing our thing, but where you were and where you are.
Yeah. Well, like all of us, my path has been a winding one. And I went to a Catholic grade school, high school, and college. And by the time I finished all of that, I looked around and said, well, now how come I finished all these Catholic degrees and still have absolutely no idea what it means to be a Catholic? And so I took that as an opportunity to start learning about what it means to be a Catholic and to figure out, do I want to be a Catholic? And as I began to learn more and more, I began to really fall in love with my faith. Now, something happened in between, which was that by chance, I received notice that I was the winner of an essay contest. Now, this wasn't just any essay contest, but the university that I went to is called the University of Dayton, where I did my undergraduate work. And this was a Marianist university, and one of the Marianist brothers had suggested that I enter an essay contest to win a trip to Fatima. And I entered mostly out of friendship to him. And little did I expect that I would receive this announcement that indeed I had won. So this meant that I was going on a 2-week pilgrimage to Fatima. I was 21 years old.
Wow.
I hadn't even heard of the word pilgrimage. I didn't know at all what to expect. In fact, I thought I was going to be spending time for 2 weeks with a whole lot of really weird holy rollers. And what I found instead was that I met absolutely amazing, real, good, humble people. People who were just trying to live their faith. And it was there that I authentically learned to pray, where I learned to pray the rosary, and where I really felt that through the rosary, Our Lady kind of lassoed me in and has slowly and began slowly pulling me in from there. And so when I returned home and began to, with much more fervor, study my faith, I eventually decided to do a master's in theology. Now, my original career was in marketing, and theology had absolutely nothing to do with it. But because it had become a passion, I just decided to go for it. And I continued to work, and I did it on the side when I could. I figured, although I don't know now what I'm meant to do with this degree, eventually the Lord will let me know, and I'll wait till that time. And when I finished that degree, I was very surprised when I felt the Lord in my heart asking me to continue on and to do some more education. And I wondered what that meant, so I started investigating and trying to see what other opportunities there might be. And it was at that time that I stumbled, and I mean just kind of stumbled, upon a program in Rome, Italy. And this was a communications licentiate, which is a degree that's offered only at a pontifical university. And I thought, communications? I never thought about communications before. But then something about it felt so natural and so right. And John, my husband, John and I had just started our courtship. Or actually, we were in our courtship at that time, and we were talking about marriage. And so I said to John, John, I really feel that the Lord is leading me and confirming this idea of Rome. What do you think? And John said, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. But about 4 seconds later, he said, the answer is yes. He was overwhelmed with this incredible sense of peace. And he just knew that it was what we were meant to do. So next thing we knew, we were planning a marriage, planning a move across the sea. We quit our jobs. We sold everything we had. We had no idea what we were going into. We had no place to live. We had no jobs to do. We did not know what would happen. But we knew that if the Lord wanted this, then he would make it so. Then he would open the doors. And praise God, he most certainly has. John and I, when we came here, anticipated staying for 2 years. We thought each of us would do our doctorates and we would head back to the U.S. We've now been here for over 8 years. And
wow.
We've just felt the Lord confirming again and again that this is where he wants us right now, knowing that he may give us a new plan tomorrow. And, you know, we're ready for that and we're open and we're listening. But in the meantime, we remain here. And a lot of that has been our work here. And while here, of course, you know about our media work, and also I used to work as the Director of Communications for the Holy Cross Foundation, which worked on getting scholarships for priests from third world countries to study here in Rome. And also, I used to work at the Vatican as the English language official for social communications at the Vatican, which was another very interesting and exciting adventure. So all of these things, through all of these things, the Lord has not only continued to grow our faith, because definitely living here has been completely living on faith, which has been an amazing experience for us, but it's been a great adventure, too.
That's well, Ashley, didn't you also teach a class to priests about media relations?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do, and that is something I absolutely love. Yes, I teach at three different universities here. A course that I created, it's called Media Training for Priests, appropriately enough. And this is meant to help these men prepare themselves to go in front of cameras, the camera, and to take difficult interviews. Because, hey, let's face it, we have all seen on TV someone representing our faith, and the interview starts to crash and burn, right? My vision is to prepare these men so that they go off to their corners of the world to serve the church, and they know how to work with the media. They know how to express the message of our faith in a way that it will actually be heard. Because it's one thing just to get words out. You know, anybody can get words out. We need to do it in a way that our message can be heard, because we have the best message in the world. We have the message. We have the truth, guys.
Amen. Amen. Well, Ashley, I'm going to take a quick break here for a couple messages, and when we come back, we'll talk about how to contact someone about the pilgrimage and talk about some local contacts, including a couple people that have been over to visit you this summer. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We all have someone who drives us crazy.
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
St. Benedict can be pretty strict with monks who cause trouble. And in his rule, he even provides that someone can be shut out from the community's meals and prayers. At the same time, however, he directs the abbot to exercise the utmost care and concern for the wayward brothers. He reminds the abbot that he has undertaken care of the sick, not tyranny over the healthy. We always have to ask ourselves whether people are troublesome because they are hindering the work or the mission, or whether we simply find them irritating.
For your free copy of The Rule of St. Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
Jesus commands us to love everyone, even our enemies. All the more, then, do we need to deal with troublesome people in a way that might make them better, rather than just shunt them aside, or, even worse, destroy them.
Ever wonder if prayer is really effective? St. Paul tells us in Romans 12:12 to rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. Our community needs your prayers to end abortion. Email standandpray@coalitionforlife.com to find out how you can help. Human life is sacred. Think about it. Coalitionforlife.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio, and we're talking with Ashley Nerona, our friend in Rome. Ashley, we're back, and you know, we have a new priest in the area, and his two churches that he ministers to are Mount Zion and Bethany, and both of those are probably included on the pilgrimage that you're going to be taking to the Holy Lands in February, and that's Father Steve Arisman.
Well, I tell you, the people of Mount Zion and Bethany are awfully blessed to have Father Steve Arisman as their shepherd, because he is such an amazing priest, such an amazing person, and a dear friend. And so I say a big ciao from Rome to all of the folks in that parish and to Father Steve.
Yeah, he was our guest last week on the show, and it was our first chance to really get to meet him. And you know, you can just sense a real holiness about him as a young priest.
Yes. Well, and I see that I'm in distinguished company to be with Father Steve in the lineup. That's great.
Well, and also sitting here in the office next door is Jim Comerford, and I know Jim and Mary and their son, Father Chris Comerford, visited you this summer as well.
Well, that was such an absolute delight. And let me tell you, that is one of my favorite things about living in Rome. So many wonderful people pass through Rome, and so we get these fantastic phone calls, and we get the opportunity to spend time with people who come here on pilgrimage to really, really go deeper into their faith. It's such a gift. And to have the Comerfords in our home was absolutely wonderful. We enjoyed a lovely evening together, lots of laughter and good food too, just like you would imagine ought to be done in Italy. And as a bonus, we are delighted to be featuring Father Chris Comerford this Saturday on our television show Voice of the Vatican on Shalom World TV. Father Chris is in Granite City, Illinois, and he's of course a priest of the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois. But he's also, maybe many people don't know this, but he's a co-chaplain of the St. Louis Cardinals. And so with baseball season here and the playoffs and all that good stuff, we wanted to share on our show how Father Chris is working hard to make sure that sports and faith come together in a powerful way for these folks and to bring God to center field.
Yeah, that's great. You know, celebrated Mass at Dodger Stadium and had Vin Scully as his lector.
That means, well, it's just something that a whole lot of people don't realize is happening, and it's so refreshing to remember that we are called to glorify God in everything we do. That means the sports we play as well.
Yeah. Now, do you have your eyes peeled this week for Father Rocky and Drew Mariani? They're in Rome this week.
Yes. In fact, I've been spending time with them. Of course, Father Rocky, the executive director of Relevant Radio, has brought a pilgrimage over, especially for the canonization that happened this past Sunday. And of course, that was such an amazing day. Seven new saints were recognized within the Catholic Church, and that is always so awesome when we have all of these new heroes of the faith to look to. And Father Rocky actually had the gift a few years ago of carrying the relics of this new saint, Jose Sanchez del Rio of Mexico. He carried them to various villages in Mexico. And for our show, Voice of the Vatican, I also had the opportunity to interview a priest who is from Mexico, whose grandmother served in the Cristero War. And he grew up his whole life hearing about this young boy, Josalito, who was a 14-year-old boy, who was willing to give his life for Christ the King. You know, his enemies said, all you have to do is say, die, Christ the King, instead of live, Christ the King. Mm-hmm. And we will let you live. But, of course, he wouldn't deny Christ and went to his grave with the words, Dio Cristo Rey, on his lip. Long live Christ the King. So Father Rocky had the chance to carry those relics, and that is something that I'm going to share on the show Voice of the Vatican this weekend, because I also interviewed Father as well as another one of the pilgrims, Linda Ruff, for the show, and just to talk a little bit about what that experience was like right there in St. Peter's Square. I had the blessing of reading during the Mass. I was invited by the postulator of one of the saints' causes to read a petition, and it was such an honor. It was a prayer for our Holy Church, and so I can't tell you how much that meant to me and just to be there that day and to participate. And also on this pilgrimage, as you mentioned, is Drew Mariani, the great Drew Mariani of the Drew Mariani Show. Mm-hmm. And interviewed Drew. We're going to be airing his interview in a few weeks. We talked to him about praying the Divine Mercy on air, which is something that's not done very often, right? You know, actually praying on the air. So he spoke a little bit about what the Divine Mercy means to him and what it's meant to the entire Relevant Radio family. So stay tuned for that too.
Yeah, and you know, we get a lot of our listeners that call in with their petitions to Drew's prayer half hour for the Divine Mercy. So it's really an awesome thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it was beautiful. He shared with us some of the fruits that have come from those prayers. Nothing short of miracles. So, I mean, it's absolute. If we don't have any other encouragement, that is encouragement that we must keep praying together in community, in fellowship, and that our prayers are being heard.
Two more things, Ashley. First, Shalom TV. Can we find that on the internet?
Yes, you sure can, actually. It's called Shalom World Television.
Shalom World Television.
You can find it in a few different ways. You can find it on your local cable. If not, you can find it online. You can go to www.shalomworldtv.org. And then if you put a /VOV after .org, then you go directly to the page of my show, which is called Voice of the Vatican. And There you can watch live streaming. We also put the episode after it's aired. We do put it up there to be found right there on the page. We have a YouTube channel as well. You'll find the episodes on YouTube. You can also watch on Apple TV or Roku or Kindle Fire. You can pull up your phone or your tablet.
I think she has a little marketing background there.
Yeah, that's the marketing there. Very nice. Now, as far as the pilgrimage goes, if anyone wants information on the pilgrimage, do they call Perfect Impressions Cruises and Tours in Springfield?
Well, they sure do. You can speak to my mom, Nora Puglia.
Yes,
and,
Nora.
Yes, get on Nora. And I can give you her number if you'd like. It's 217-793-3733. 217-793-3733. Come join us.
Okay, well, Ashley, I'm going to seriously give it some thought. I'll have to talk it over with my wife, of course. and she doesn't like to fly, but as far as that goes, thanks so much for joining us today. You are always such a joy to talk to. I don't really think we interview you. We just let you go because you have a great grasp on our faith and on the marketing of the faith and all you do. God bless you and John. And maybe one of these days when you're back here in Central Illinois, we'll get to actually meet in person.
Well, that would be absolutely delightful. I look forward to that day. And in the meantime, it sure is a pleasure to talk to everybody. So God bless you.
God bless you. And thank you for sharing. That's awesome.
Thanks for your hard work.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm sending a hug from here. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
God bless.
Decatur Catholic Radio, WDCR, 88.9, 96.5.
All right, we're back here on the Cradle and the Convert, and I'm sitting here with regular guest and contributor Donna Dossman. Donna is a good friend of the show. She has worked for the diocese and is doing something really great for the marriage community here in Decatur with a program that's going to begin early next month. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate being here.
Well, we're glad to have you. And this this project you guys are working on is called Couples Night Out. Is that right?
That is correct. Couples Night Out kind of is something we borrowed from the Rockford area. And I think it's very exciting. It's for couples of all ages to go out and spend a fun evening having some yummy appetizers at the beach house with other Catholic couples from other parishes. And there will be a short presentation on living the sacrament of marriage at every one of these events. We're always going to plan on a weeknight. We're going to do it four times a year. And the object is just to meet other people who are Catholics or interfaith couples living the sacrament of marriage in our city.
Yeah, you know, it's enough that we don't really know the people at church that sit around us, but even the other couples in the other parishes, it's even more difficult to know, you know, who our brothers and sisters are in faith, in the Catholic faith anyway, unless you have some sort of a mixer. And this sounds like a really good idea. Now, it's going to focus mainly on marriage, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And you said there'll be a speaker or a topic. Can you give us an idea of what'll be discussed?
Sure. At the first session, we're going to kind of do an overview of what's possible and then let the couples decide what they want to hear. So it might be communication skills. It might be what the church says about marriage, since it's under such attack today in so many other areas. What do we really believe? It might be on finances and how do I make money work for my family and be able to give back to my church. It might be on parenting. You know, it'll be up to the couples to say, these are the kind of things we want to hear. And we're looking for couples of all ages. I looked at the reservations last night, and I think we're succeeding there. We've got some newlyweds. We've got couples with little kids and high school kids. We've got people who've been married decades. So if you're out there, come on down.
So it's a broad spectrum.
It is a broad spectrum, yeah.
Well, good. And, you know, people talk a lot about they wish they had an outlet, a way to talk, a way to share their faith with other people. And this sounds like a way to do it and have fun. And like you said, have some appetizers and adult beverage if you prefer. And just a way to get together and share our faith. And the first one, Donna, is coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
Sure. It's Monday night, November 7th, and it's at the Beach House, so a really nice venue. We'll have a variety of appetizers for that. The cost is just $30 for a couple, and that's going to cover, obviously, the appetizers in the evening, and then there's a cash bar. There's the presentation is short, so you've got plenty of time to meet new friends, visit with old, and a very lovely environment. So
yeah, that is a nice place. You know, and especially right now, as I was driving today by the lake, the all the leaves are changing, and as you look across the lake, it looks like they're just on fire with the colors. And from the beach house, of course, right there on beautiful Lake Decatur at the new lakefront, that would be a great venue to share and praise the Lord. So how do I reserve my spot, Donna, if I want to making a reservation?
All the bulletins are carrying the reservation information. The phone number is 428-8350. But the bulletins also have a way that you can do it online, very simply, mm-hmm. and that will give us the information that we need also. So either way is a fine way to do reservations. We do want them by November 1st so that the beach house has time to do some planning.
Okay, so we've got a few days to get that mm-hmm. in. Again, the phone number is 428-8350 to make your reservation for couples night out on November 7th. At the beach house on beautiful Lake Decatur. Donna, thanks for stopping in this morning and filling us in on this. Keep us posted. You know, the next time in the next quarter when you have one, we'll have you back to talk about it. Maybe we can spend a little more time and you'll let us know how it went and what to expect from the program.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dave.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone. The 1973 Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade said, "The word person, as used in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, does not include the unborn." Pro-lifers say that the word should include the unborn. Some people say that the pro-life movement is intolerant and narrow. But when you consider the fact that the movement is asking for society to include the unborn in its welcome and to extend to them the protection of its laws, it seems pretty clear that the pro-life people are the more tolerant and inclusive. Let's pray and work together for an end to legal abortion and to the harm it brings to women and their children. This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. This morning we're going to talk to Peter Bond. A new friend of ours, Peter Bond, is a 46-year-old garden variety sinner, according to his bio. He and his lovely wife, Kathy, stay busy raising 8 children, and Peter is a daily communicant, and has been for quite some time. He lives in Tallahassee, Florida, in the Diocese of Pensacola. His hobbies include fishing, skeet shooting, tying rosaries, and making new friends at a local cigar shop that he owns. See, Dan, that's why I invited him on here, because if I go to Tallahassee, I'm going to his cigar shop.
We could talk about that for an hour.
Yeah, we could. He's an entrepreneur specializing in micro-businesses that help raise funds for various Catholic charities, including prayer cards, CatholicPrayerCards.org, CatholicPrinting.org, Be Holy Honey. I like that. I see JMJ Orchards and Lodge, which is a 61-acre pecan ranch, and also a retreat center. His upcoming ventures are St. Peter's Tackle Box, which will offer fishing lures. He's just a man of about everything. But what we're going to talk about today is one of his favorite ventures, and that's ReginaCigars.com, and how using his love for handmade cigars has helped to spread faith and devotion at the new springtime of the new evangelization. So, wow, Peter, good morning.
Good morning to you.
We're glad to have you this morning. How's the weather down in Florida?
It's nice. It's probably about 75-ish or so, kind of gray and cloudy this morning, but that's all right. We're used to so much heat down here in the summer, we take any kind of break from that we can get.
Yeah, I bet it's nice to get a little break. We're in the middle of springtime or fall here. The leaves are changing. They're bright orange and red. It's a beautiful time of year. So tell us a little bit about some of these ventures, Peter, that you have, that you're involved with, that you donate a lot of your proceeds to Catholic-type charities.
Probably what we're most known for is our Holy Card collection. We've got over 600 different publications that we produce and we print, and we've got several million cards in stock, and we ship them all over the world. That kind of got started just as a hobby. About 15 years ago, I was going through kind of a crisis of faith and was down at the very bottom, you know, where we all get at some point in our journey back to God. And I just was in a desperate spot, and the Lord just kind of put this prayer in my heart, and I wrote it down, and because I just felt so touched by it. And I was in the printing business, selling commercial printing for, you know, probably 15 years prior to that, 10 or 15 years. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll put this on a little card and I'll stick some at the church. I just kind of felt called to do that. And so I guess, you know, a couple of days later, they were all gone. And I printed some more and came up with a couple other ones. And next thing you know, I'm getting calls from people, hey, you got any more of those cards? I'm selling this card to church. And then I get calls from somebody in Canada. Hey, I was down in Florida and I picked up this card. Can you send me some cards up here? And so one thing led to the other, and here we are 15 years later, and we're the largest Catholic family-owned Holy Card publisher in the country. It's been a real blessing, being able to bless a lot of other people. What we do is we print all the cards, and people can order them on the website. But a portion, a good chunk of the proceeds goes back to help the mission. So what we do is we kind of harness our buying power, and we'll print up. Sorry about that.
I thought that was us.
Had a call in for you already.
Working man. Anyway, find out how to unplug that. So we go and we print up about all these different cards and we send them out to the missions. We probably send probably close to 500,000 or more cards each year to the missions.
What a great way to evangelize, too.
Yeah, because, you know, we share a common faith. And we're all called to mission, and we're all called to reach out. You know, I think Pope Francis has really been pushing us all in that direction, you know. But we can only go so many places. But I found that with these little holy cards, you know, get inspired to come up with some new design or some new prayer or whatever it might be, they go places I can't go. And they have legs, and they go into prison cells, and they go into hospitals. They go into, you know, crisis pregnancy centers. There's all kinds of little places where people are hurting and someone wants to hand them something to encourage them. And it's just been a real blessing for me to be able to, you know, share my own faith through that little ministry and these little cards.
It's interesting, the way I got my hands on some of these is I was at the Catholic Radio Conference in the spring, and I met a fellow from Louisiana, and we were outside of the hotel having a cigar. And he said, you like fine cigars? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, do you like holy cards? I said, yeah, I do. He said, I got a guy that puts holy cards as wrappers on his cigars. I said, I got to check this out. And that's when I made my first order with you. And the cigars are fantastic. And the holy cards are just absolutely beautiful. They come like the wrapper on the cigar. You carefully peel off the wrapper, and on the back is a prayer. And the picture on the front is usually an angel or a saint. Or the Immaculate Mother. It's just, they're really nice. They are really nice.
Well, this is a kind of an act of love for sure, a labor of love. About 20-something years ago, I got into cigars, handmade cigars, and I was been doing wholesale on the side for all that time, selling to hotel gift shops and whatnot. But I never had a retail store. And about 2 years ago, my favorite local little cigar shop went up for sale. The gentleman was retiring, and I just didn't want somebody to go in there and buy that place and turn it into something other than Jerry's Cigar Shop the way I remembered it 20 years ago. So
yeah.
I came down and met with the owner and ended up buying the shop. And immediately, I realized this wasn't a coincidence, and it wasn't something that was just a pure business venture. It was a ministry. I would see all kinds of folks come in here, Catholics, former Catholics, non-Catholics, anti-Catholics. A lot. I mean, you meet a lot of interesting folks in the cigar shop. It's one of the few places left. It's kind of like a barber shop, but you don't get a haircut.
Exactly.
A lot of conversations come up here, and science and technology and history and religion and politics and sports, and it's a wide gamut. But I kept seeing so many different people come in, and you could kind of almost see hurt in their eyes and face and despondency, the troubles of life. It's kind of a crossroads, like a bus station almost. You know, you see a lot of different folks come into this job like that. And I thought, you know, if I could find some way to evangelize and to reach out and encourage these folks. But I thought, you know, it has to be in a very subtle way, because you don't want to be preaching and turn people away. And I just kind of kept hearing this call of Pope Francis to reach out to the margins. I said, well, you know, I feel like the shop is the margins. And so I came in and I thought, you know, if I could kind of blend our cigars, my love for cigars, with what I do with the holy cards, I can find a subtle way of evangelizing. So I walk through the humidor. We have a big walk-in humidor here, and I saw all these, you know, classic brands of cigars. And one of the real popular things that people would do, especially in the older brands, they would use a beautiful woman, and they would put her on the cigar band or on the box and make it very decorative, so that when you walk through the humidor, and we've got probably 650, 700 boxes open in the shop, and so you're walking through, and there's just so many things to choose from. So packaging really makes a big, you know, big impact on what people pick up. So I thought, you know, if all these other people are using beautiful women to attract men to their cigars, I said, I have to really be smart and use the most beautiful woman that ever lived. And so I said, you know, we're going to come up with our own brand. It's going to be called Regina Cigars, mm-hmm. and be dedicated to the Blessed Mother. And the first thing I did when I told my wife this, she said, I think you've absolutely lost your mind. And I told other family members about it. They said, I think that's sacrilegious to use Mary to sell cigars. I said, I'm not using Mary to sell cigars. I'm using cigars to sell Mary.
Yeah.
If they can meet her, then she'll take them to Jesus, and then, you know, they can take it from there. My job is just to lay the foundation, to plant a seed, to make an introduction. So the first five blends we did, I consulted with my spiritual director and about nine priest friends of mine that I know, and even ran it through our bishop. And, you know, bishop can't really give an imprimatur on a cigar band. So I phrased it like this. I said, Bishop, if somebody in your diocese wanted to do this project, would you be opposed? And he said, I wouldn't. So that was good enough for me. And so we moved forward with it. And the first five series that we did were a collection of cigars from the Dominican Republic, and they were named after the five Marian dogmas. So we did Mater Dei. We did all the bands in Latin, so they wouldn't be overly preachy. And we used beautiful classic Catholic artwork on the front for each that would match each dogma. And then on the back was a quote from a saint or some sort of a scripture passage or you know, ancient Orthodox hymn or something like that that corresponded to the particular dogma. So basically, like you said, it was a holy card on obviously thinner weight paper, but it was a holy card wrapped around a cigar, and it was done with, you know, very tastefully and very beautifully.
Yes, they were.
Very, very prayerfully. And so we did Mater Dei for Mother of God, Virgo for Mary's perpetual virginity. We did Immaculata for the Immaculate Conception, Assumptio for the Assumption, and then we did Mediatrix for Mediatrix of All Graces. And then we did a series of holy cards that corresponded directly to the cigars as well. So we would put the holy cards up there in the humidor next to the cigars so guys could pick one up when they picked up one of the cigars, and they would have a card that matched. So that was very well received, and it, you know, my whole thought was, let's, you know, this is about proposing Jesus. We don't impose Jesus. We propose Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, who else knows Jesus better than his own mother? I said, let me just, you know, I don't want to cross a line and put the, you know, an image of the deity on a cigar band. I thought, you know, that would even be beyond the chalk line for me. But I said, you know, I can put him, he could be on the image if it's something that's where he's related to someone else, you know, either Our Lady or St. Joseph or Holy Family, something like that. So our next series came from Nicaragua. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to introduce people to Jesus through Mary, and with the first set, that I need to go through and introduce him through the rest of his family. So we did a cigar called Abus et Abia, which is named after, it means grandmother and grandfather in Latin. And it has a beautiful icon from Giotto of Saints Anne and Joachim embracing this beautiful kiss. It's a very famous artistic painting, Catholic painting. And then we did the next one was Sancta Familia for the Holy Family. It's got a beautiful retablo on the front with St. Joseph and Our Lady and the baby Jesus. Then we also did, and it's got a quote on the back of that one from Pope John Paul II about the dignity of the family and a blessing for families. Then we did the third one was Vera Met Pater, Husband and Father, dedicated to St. Joseph. A beautiful image from... oh, gosh, I can't forget the artist on that one, but a gorgeous image of St. Joseph holding the Christ child. And then the last one we did, this one kind of, I woke up in one morning and like, oh, I know what the final blend is on this Nicaraguan series. It's called Matrimonium. And the beautiful image of the priest and Our Lady and St. Joseph on their wedding day and exchanging rings. And we did this. We did this one as a barber pole, which I don't know if you're. It's kind of hard to describe over the radio, but it's a light wrapper and a dark wrapper blended together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it looks like a barber pole. The idea was the two become one. The two wrappers become one cigar, and the two lives become one in a family and marriage. So the whole foundation of that series was, again, to propose Jesus through the people that knew him best. Is obviously, we defined Our Lady through her dogmas and then introduced them to St. Joseph and to St. Joachim and Anne, his grandparents, in the setting of his family, which was rooted and founded on Mary's marriage to St. Joseph. Because that yes that she gave to Joseph at their wedding was the predicate that her yes to Gabriel was predicated on her yes to St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin without seed, but in the context of marriage. Obviously, Joseph couldn't have divorced her or tried to divorce her, even had the idea to divorce her, unless they were married. So that marriage is foundational prior to the Annunciation. So anyway, we just kind of wanted to find that. In our last series we did, was from the Honduran collection that you had samples, and we did one for St. Michael, one for St. Raphael, one for St. Gabriel, the archangels, and then we did another one for the Year of Mercy called Misericordiae,
mm-hmm.
With a beautiful quote on the back. Actually, I believe it's the Divine Mercy Prayer on the back. And then we did one for, we have the Brotherhood of Hope here in Tallahassee. They are rooted out of Massachusetts, I believe. They're probably about a 30-year-old order, a religious order, and they reach out to college campuses, and they do men's ministry and college campus ministry. Extraordinarily faithful, extraordinarily dynamic, and just they had a lot of success here. They've been a kind of a tradition in Tallahassee for probably going on 20 years now. But one of the brothers I was talking to him one day about the matrimonium cigar, about the one for marriage, and, you know, several of us were talking, and he said, "Oh, you ought to come up with one for consecrated life." And I'm like, "Oh yeah." I'm one of those people that you know, if you tell me something and you give me an idea, I kind of do it. And so I just kind of picked their brain. Like, "Oh really? What I put on there? Oh, maybe a picture of St. John the Baptist." I'm like, "Oh, that'd be great." And I said, "What would I call it?" "Oh, Vita Consecrata." Like,
oh, he had it already figured out, didn't he?
So the minute they said it, I came home and did it. And so I surprised them last Easter with a box of Vita Consecrata, and they were just absolutely floored. And Brother Clinton, a friend of mine, he said, "Pete, it's very, very hard to surprise one of the brothers."
Let me remind everybody that we're talking to Peter Bond in Tallahassee, Florida, here on the Cradle and the Convert this morning. Peter, there was something else I wanted to ask you about, something that we have in common, and that is WCVC, 1330 AM in Tallahassee, and that is the Catholic radio station that you run, is that right?
Yeah, I'm head of the board that manages it. We've recently consolidated that with another large group out of Texas that does Catholic radio. But my entry into that, I used to listen to WCVC 1330 when it was a Protestant station back in the late 90s. And because of that station, I almost left the Catholic Church. I grew up as a Catholic, and I went to Catholic school for about 3 years. Thought I knew my faith, but I really didn't. And I was, you know, in love with the Lord and getting to know him more and more each day, but there was no Catholic radio in Tallahassee. So, you know, out of desperation, I would, you know, just listen instead of listening just to you know, whatever the pop music was of the day. I would try to, you know, feed my soul a little bit, but I'd listen to a lot of the Protestant radio. But I just noticed the theology kept changing every half hour when the shows would change. And there was no consistency. And so I had, you know, in my commute each week, I probably had 6 hours of non-Catholic radio with varying doctrines and a lot of disparity between them, and then about, you know, a 10-minute homily on Sunday. So I really didn't, the weight wasn't really balanced there, and I didn't really know my faith. So I almost left the Catholic Church, and it was because of 1330 AM before it became Catholic. So back in 2005, it did become a Catholic station, and a gentleman here in Tallahassee helped start that, and EWTN affiliate. It was wonderful, loved it, but then they ran out of money back in 2009, and it went off the air, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, "Self, you know, you almost left the Catholic Church because of this station, and it's getting ready to go back to what it was before, you know, it was Catholic, and you just can't let that happen. And I went in there and talked to my wife, and she said, I think you've lost your mind again. And
well, it's a wonderful way to evangelize. I mean, once you start listening to Catholic radio in the car, it's hard to turn it off.
It is, and it's very, very powerful. People think AM radio, who listens to AM radio? A lot of people, and it's not just, you're not going after the narrow, you know, you're going after the narrow path. You know, it's people that, they're interested, they're engaged, they want to hear something, they want to hear conversation, and it's almost, the beauty of radio is it's almost like you're listening in, you're eavesdropping on another person's conversation. It's interesting to you. And it's non-threatening, because a lot of times you're in the car, you're by yourself, and you can think about these things. And I don't know. I think it's a very, very powerful thing. And,
yes, it is.
That's kind of what happened with the, you know, you mentioned Be Holy Honey. That's kind of what happened. We were trying to finance the radio station, and I realized, you know, you've got to have four people to really make a successful station. You have to have a schmoozer to go out and shake hands and kiss babies and raise funds. You have to have a techie who can go out and, you know, manage all the wires and the receivers and whatnot, and you have to have a programmer to kind of make it sound good. Then you have to have a nerd who can do the books.
Yeah.
I was kind of a nerd.
Well, Peter, we're running out of time this morning. I want our listeners to be able to check out your websites, especially the Regina Cigars website.
Yeah. And ReginaCigars.com.
Okay.
And go up there and take a look. We do. We have all of our different 16 different blends of cigars available. To order right there on the website. We also do private labeling, so if you have a wedding or an ordination or an anniversary, or we can do a custom label for you that way.
That'd be beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we want to thank Mr. Peter Bond for joining us this morning to talk about the various ministries he's involved with. And, Peter, we'll talk to you again sometime. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you kindly, Brad.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, okay. We'll see you.
God bless.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar-holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. Dave Slade and Dan Walker here this morning. We hope Mark's recovering upstairs here in the hospital from back surgery. And we're going to go now to next Sunday's preview of the gospel. And with that, here's Dan.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see Jesus, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All right, everybody, we want to thank you for joining us today. We've had a busy show. Speaking to Ashley Nerona in Rome, Peter Bond down in Florida, Donna Dossman here in the studio, our gospel review. It's just been busy, busy, busy. I want you all to remember Mark in your prayers, the convert half of the Cradle and the Convert, for a quick recovery from his surgery. He's planning to be in Florida for part of the winter. So this recovery is important to get him back on his feet so he can go on his pilgrimage to Florida. Dan, what do you say we close with a prayer?
Let's do it. Prayer of St. Michael.
The prayer of St. Michael. Perfect. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our defense against the wickedness and the snares of the devil.
May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking for the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's it for this week, folks. We hope to hear from you next week. If you've got any comments, give us a call here, 464-1099, and we will talk to you again soon. Good morning.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.